Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us here in person and all of you who are joining us online. We have several things going on this morning, and so I'm going to go ahead and jump right in to the announcements. As you can see, we have our blessing box drive this morning. At the North Carolina Synod Assembly, one of the things that we heard over and over again is that most congregations are taking part in feeding the hungry in their community in some way. Food insecurity is a really big challenge all over our synod. And so all of God's people are trying to respond to the significant needs in their community. So thank you to all of you who brought food this morning to help us fill the blessing box so that we can feed the hungry in our community. The scholarship fund raffle continues. There's a gift card raffle and a raffle for that American flag palette in the back. Kelly is going to be helping sell raffle tickets after worship if you want to see her. I am really excited because you will notice, maybe, that there are some changes to the bulletin. This has been a labor of love, but we are rolling out our new bulletin today. There are several reasons why we've made some changes. One, you've probably heard me say for some time, I wish I could offer a class on why we do what we do in worship, why it's in this order, what it means that we do this, just so that we're not going through the motions, but the things that we do have meaning and meaning for us. And so you'll notice at the different parts of the service, there are little explanations for why we do what we do in worship. Second, you'll notice that the hymns are printed in the bulletin. We've had feedback that for some folks, it's hard to hold a hymnal. It's heavy, it's awkward, it's hard to stand up and hold the hymnal at the same time, it's hard to flip through the bulletin and the hymnal. This way, it's easier for everybody. So there's still going to be a few tweaks to come, but for the most part, this is our new bulletin. I also want to lift up that you might be hearing about the commemoration of the Emmanuel 9 this week. In 2015, on June 17th, 9 people were murdered at Mother Emmanuel in Charleston. This is significant for the Lutheran Church because the young man who murdered those folks while they were in Bible study was a Lutheran. And so the ELCA takes very seriously our call to repent for the sins of racism. So there'll be a petition in today's prayer, and I just want you to be mindful of that if you hear about it in the news this week. And the other connection with the Emmanuel 9 is that 2 of the pastors that were murdered went to Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary in South Carolina, where I went to school. So a lot of Lutheran connections. We have a few birthdays this week, but before I jump into offering the prayer and the names, one of the special birthdays is Paul Conrad. For years and years, Paul has given gum to people. Can you raise your hand if you've been the recipient of gum from Paul? Well, Paul, Mary has designed and crocheted this afghan in your honor, and we want to give it to you as a gift of gratitude from all of us for all that you've given over the years. Can you show the choir? Thank you for loving us well, Paul, and we hope that you have a wonderful birthday. So yes, we have a few birthdays this week. Norris Feeney, Dottie Curry, Paul Conrad, William Curry, Ross Summer, and Matthew Parsons. Celebrating their wedding anniversary this week are Jennifer and Joe Davis, And celebrating his 91st baptismal anniversary this week is Bill Curry. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And finally, a couple of prayer shawls. One is for Dale Beck, who has a connection to Marie Palmer. He has been diagnosed with cancer, and so we will bless that prayer shawl. And Karen Copley, who is a dear friend of Boyd and Janice, has been going through a number of health struggles. So let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the prayer shawl ministry here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We ask that you would bless these prayer shawls and those who will receive them. As they feel the weight of these prayer shawls upon their laps or their shoulders, may they feel the weight of your love and care, and our love and care for them here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll pass these around so that if you'd like to pray for them, you may do so. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who greets us in this and every season, whose love never fails, whose promise is sure. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of our neighbors and our siblings in Christ. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned. We have hurt our community. We have squandered your blessings. We have hoarded your bounty. We have failed to be honest. We have lacked the courage to speak. We have spoken falsely. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy. The triune God offers boundless grace when we fail. Receive and live into the gift of God's mercy. You are freed and forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you are the source of life and the ground of our being. By the power of your Spirit, bring healing to this wounded world and raise us to the new life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Hi, Cameron. You want to sit over here? There we go. Hi, Kaylee. We've got Calvin and Jason and Kate and Conrad and Sawyer and Cameron and Kaylee. Good morning, everybody. Last week, we talked a little bit about how God created our bodies and how God loves our bodies and how we get to use our bodies in worship to show that we love God. So some of the things we talked about last week were we can use our lips and our tongue to sing our praises. We can look around us and see the different things in the sanctuary. We can use our words to pray. But today I thought we could talk about another way that we can use our bodies to worship God. And that is with bowing. Have you ever noticed that the person who lights the candles, or me, the pastor, every time we come before the altar, we bow? Have you noticed that before? Do you know why we do that? For God and Jesus. You pray? Both of those are really good answers. Well, as Lutherans, we believe that Jesus is always present with us at the altar, that Jesus is always present at the table. And so one of the reasons that we bow is to show respect and honor and reverence to Jesus at the table. There are a couple of ways to bow, and I wanted to see if we could maybe practice them. So one of them is a head bow, where you're still just kind of sitting or standing, but you just bow your head. We kind of do that sometimes when we pray, right? We bow our head. Can everybody try a head bow? Good, good. And the other kind of bow that you probably see most from me or the person that lights the candle is called a profound bow. And this is a bow from the waist, where when we come to the table, we bow at the waist. Can you guys stand up and try a profound bow? Turn to the table and bend from your tummy. Yeah. So yes, you see the person who lights the candles do that, and yes, you see me do that, but it's actually appropriate for all of us to do that at the altar because Jesus' presence is there. And recently, somebody asked me a question about another time that I bow in the service and why I do it. Have you ever noticed that at communion, when I say the part, "Do this in remembrance of me," that I do kind of a head bow? Have you ever noticed? Has anybody ever noticed that? The reason I do that, and by the way, it's appropriate for all of us to do that, is because that we believe that Jesus' presence is in, with, and under the bread and the wine. And so when we say those words, when we offer that prayer, those words that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he took the wine, in that moment, that's when the presence of Jesus becomes part of the bread and wine. And so when I'm done saying all of that, and then I say, "Do this in remembrance of me," I bow to show honor and reverence to Jesus because Jesus is in the bread and the wine. So in communion, if you want to start doing that, you're welcome to. That's very appropriate to honor Jesus and his presence in the bread and wine in that way. So we've got the head bow, and we've got the profound bow from our tummy. But all of it is us using our bodies to tell Jesus something, right? To tell Jesus with our bodies that we honor him and we have reverence for him. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for our church. And thank you for our bodies. Help us to use our bodies in worship to tell you that we love you and that we honor you and that we have reverence for you. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can all now go to Children's Church with Anna. You're not too old. Go have some fun. We're all children of God. I say go and have some fun.
The first reading is from 1 Chronicles. Then David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name." Word of God, word of life. The psalm for today is Psalm 89. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing.
From age to age, my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness.
For I am persuaded that your steadfast love is established forever.
You have set your faithfulness firmly in the heavens.
The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord.
And to your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones.
For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord?
Who is like the Lord among the gods?
God who is feared in the council of the holy ones.
Great and awesome to those all around.
Who is like you, Lord God of hosts? You rule the raging of the sea
and still the searching of its waves.
Yours are the heavens, the earth also is yours.
You lay the foundations of the world and all that is in it.
You have made the north and the south, Tabor and Hermon, rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne.
Love and truth go before your face.
Happy are the people who know the festal shout.
They walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence.
They rejoice daily in your name.
They are jubilant in your righteousness.
The second reading is from Isaiah. For thus says the Lord, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Today is June 11th, and it is also the 18th month, no, excuse me, the 2.5 year marker of my time at Holly Grove. And I say that because it is a celebration for me. I often say that I am grateful to be the pastor of this church, but I don't think, for as often as I say it, I can truly express the gratitude that I have that I get to lead this church and that I get to be your pastor. One of the things that I do on the 11th of every month, because my first day was January 11th, 2021, is I get out the bulletin from my installation service and I turn to one of the pages where it has the words of what I promise to do among you and what you promise to do for me, because these words didn't just happen. They weren't just said on that day, but they continue to be the covenant that we share as pastor and people, as shepherd and flock. And one of my favorite lines in these words of installation, "People of God, will you receive Anna as a messenger of Jesus Christ, sent to serve all people with the gospel of hope and salvation? Will you regard her as a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God?" A steward of the mysteries of God. I love being a steward of those mysteries. As you know, I am a student of theology. I love to read, I love to study. And one of the things that I believe about my call, and not just this specific call to Holly Grove Lutheran Church, but about my call as a pastor of Word and Sacrament, is that I am called to help people understand that God is far bigger and far beyond all that we can even begin to imagine. Because as humans, we have a tendency to want to kind of put God in a box, to make God understandable, to make God fit who we kind of want God to be. And I believe that for myself and pastors of my generation, our call is to break down those boxes, to break down the walls, and to help all of God's people understand that God is far bigger, far more vast than we could ever, ever imagine. And so on this 2.5 year marker, I say thank you for the gift of being your pastor, and thank you for opening your hearts and your minds to the bigness of who God is and how God is at work in our church and in the world around us. So grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you were in school, do you ever remember thinking, "Why do we have to learn this?" You don't have to raise your hand, but just think, do you remember ever thinking that? Well, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago in confirmation. Why are we going through confirmation? Why are we learning these things? And I think the fact is we've all kind of questioned at one point or another why we have to learn something. And I wonder if you've ever asked that question here at church. About church, about God, why do we have to learn this? Why is this important? And I think when we ask the question at church, why do we have to learn this? That there's a fundamentally different answer than anywhere else out in the world. And that is relationship. Why are we thinking about the Apostles' Creed and exploring what we believe this summer? Relationship. When we learn more about who God is and how God is at work in the world around us, we grow deeper in our relationship with God. We don't just learn things here at church to acquire knowledge or to master a subject or to pass a test. We learn more here at church about who God is and how God is at work. Because Jesus commands us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our minds, with all of our souls and strength. We're called to love God with all of who we are and all that we have, and part of that means that throughout our lives, we continue to learn more and more about who God is. And so let's jump in. Let's jump into this first part of the creed, to the first person in the Trinity. Let's explore what it means when we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty. Well, first of all, I believe. The word creed comes from the Latin word credo, which in Latin is the first two words of the creed, I believe. And credo is a two-part word. It means heart and give in Latin. I give my heart to. So when we say, I believe in, we are saying, I give my heart to. I give my heart to God the Father, the Almighty. I put my trust in. I believe in. I give my heart and devotion to. This is what it means when we say, I believe. Martin Luther said, whatever it is that your heart clings to, that is your God. Whatever it is that your heart clings to. Think about the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. And Martin Luther asked the question, what does this mean? It means that we are to fear and love and trust God above all things. To believe in God is to make a choice about our priorities, where we will spend our time, how we will spend our energy, who we will be in relationship with, how we spend our money, who we give our heart to. Credo, I believe, I give my heart to. So I believe in God the Father Almighty. If I were to ask you to close your eyes and picture God, would you imagine God, one, as a human, and two, as a male? You don't have to raise your hands. But unfortunately, one of the limits of language, especially English, is that it doesn't help us fully describe who God is. Because the truth about God is that God is not human. Yes, Jesus Christ is human, and we'll get to that second person of the Trinity in a few weeks, but God, the first person of the Trinity, is not human. God is spirit. And because God is spirit, God does not have a gender. Humans have gender. God, the first person of the Trinity, is not human and does not have a gender. And so some might say, well, wait a minute. If God isn't human, if God is not male, then why do we use he for God? And why do we call God Father? Those are really good questions, and I could spend several hours talking about this to you. It was really painful for me to put this into just a couple of pages. But those are really, really good questions, because the words that we use to talk about God, the words that we use to describe God, they matter. They matter because they shape the way that we understand God. So, of course, we all know that Scripture was written over the course of many, many centuries, hundreds of years. And all through those centuries, the cultures were patriarchal, meaning that men held the power and the authority, and truly women were powerless. They were at the very, very bottom of society for no reason other than their biological gender. And men wrote to Scripture. Every word that we have in our Bible was written by a man. And most of our translations, up until recently, have been men translating it. So when they had to choose between describing God as male or female, because those are the only two options in our languages, of course they would choose male. Of course they would choose male pronouns. Because the truth about being human is that we try so hard to make sense of things, but we just don't always have adequate language. And so in Hebrew and Greek, the original languages of the Bible, and in our case, when it's translated into English, the writers and translators, they chose to use male language, including the word Father for God. Now, after all of these centuries, even though we know that God doesn't have a gender, the reason that we still use Father in the Lord's Prayer and in the Creed is because that's what's historically and traditionally been used. And don't get me wrong here, I'm not saying that you should stop calling God Father. I'm just trying to help you understand that just calling God Father limits our understanding of who God is. Because the truth is, God is no more a father than God is a mother. Because God is no more male than God is female. God is not literally a father. God is not literally a mother, just like God is not literally a shepherd or a fortress or a judge. Scripture is filled with word pictures, metaphors, and similes to help us understand different parts of God's character so that with all of them, we can have a fuller understanding of who God is. All of this to say, brothers and sisters, God is so big. God is so great that we can never fully understand all of who God is. And so returning back to God the Father, Scripture has actually images of both God as a father and as a mother. In fact, the passage that we read from Isaiah talks about God being a mother who comforts her children. What would it mean if we were to think more about God as a mother and father, holding all of the verses that we find in the Bible about God being father and mother? What if we were to hold them all together? How would it help us understand God more fully? I think what we're all trying to get at here is that God is like a parent. Not just a father, not just a mother, but God has the characteristics of both kinds of parent. And when Jesus taught his disciples to pray using the word Father, what he was trying to help his disciples, and I think us, understand, is that he had an intimate relationship with God, and that he wanted his followers to also have that kind of intimate relationship. The kind that a child would have with a parent. To call God father or mother is to describe yet one more way that God loves us. With the care that a parent would have for a child with the tenderness that a parent would have for a child, with the loving closeness that a parent would have for a child. God has that tenderness and that loving closeness with us. And so as we hold that part of who God is, even though maybe it's a little bit bigger and less describable than we want it to be, God desires to be in an intimate, loving relationship with all people. That is God our parent. That is God our father. That is God our mother. And we hold that with God also being almighty. God is the creator of the universe. God has existed from eternity to eternity. God created all the universes and all the galaxies and stars and plants and trees and creatures and every single human that has ever existed. This is also the big God that we know God Almighty to be. And I think this is what Almighty is trying to get at. That God is so great and so vast and so powerful and so mighty, ruling over all things, that this is the God that we regard as holy. This is the God that we reverence. This is the God that we understand is beyond all human understanding and logic. God is almighty. And God is father. God is parent. God is both. These are two facets of who God is. We hold them both together. And so what we're saying when we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, is that we put our trust in God. We give our hearts to God. God is bigger. God who is bigger than we can imagine. We give our heart to God, who is a loving parent. We honor God, and we have reverence for God, and we can come to God just like a child does to a parent. That we give our heart to the God who created the entire universe and galaxies, to the God who still cares for them and loves all that is in them. That this God is the God who adopted us in our baptism. We are now God's beloved children. So I believe in God the Father Almighty. Perhaps it means that I give my heart to God. God who has characteristics of a father and a mother, this parent who has adopted us in baptism and who loves us beyond all that we could ever ask for or imagine. That we put our trust in this God, who is a tender parent, who loves us and comforts us, and who is protective of us. We put our trust in God Almighty, the one who rules over all things and who is bigger than we could ever understand or comprehend. This is the God that our hearts cling to. Amen.
Thank you.
living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated, and I'd like to invite our graduates to come forward. Let's gather at the font. It's at the font that God adopts us and we become brothers and sisters to one another. One of the things that I love about Holly Grove Lutheran Church is that we are a family here, more so than any other church that I've been in. And one of the things that in your baptism and in your confirmation promises that this congregation, this family promised to do was to pray for you, to care for you, and to support you. And it has been our joy and honor to do just that, especially these last few years as you have been pursuing higher education. We want to take this opportunity today to tell you how proud of you we are and how much we are looking forward to see how you will use all of the knowledge and wisdom that you have gained to continue to serve this world that God so loves. And so I'd like to share a little bit about what each of our graduates has been studying and how they are going to use that knowledge. So Andrew just graduated from Campbell School of Law in Raleigh with his Juris Doctor. He is currently studying for his bar exam, which will be taken at the end of July. William has graduated with his Master of Accounting with a concentration in tax from UNCG. His CPA exam will have four parts to it, and he is studying for the first part right now. He works with his uncle in Thomasville, and while he's working, he's going to continue to study for that CPA exam. Caroline just graduated from Lenore Ryan with a Bachelor of Science in Exercise Science. In January, she's going to begin attending Elon University to pursue her doctorate in physical therapy. For the next 6 months while she's home, she will be the fitness and wellness coordinator at the YMCA here in Lexington. And Sarah Grace has just graduated with her associate in nursing, and she just passed her boards. Yay! This means that she is officially a registered nurse. She has accepted a job in the cardiovascular ICU at Moses Cone and will begin that position in August. She's continuing to take classes to work toward her Bachelor of Science in Nursing, which will begin in the spring at Western Carolina, because long term she wants to get her master's and become a nurse practitioner and help teach others in healthcare. That's remarkable. We say all of this in just a few words. We say all of these things in short summaries, but that doesn't take into account the amount of time and energy, the sleepless nights, the papers, all of the work that you put into getting these degrees. And so we congratulate you and celebrate with you. So after worship today, outside our red doors, we're going to have a reception so that each of you can come and congratulate them in person and wish them well. And I'd like to offer a prayer for all of you. God, we give you thanks for the gift of loving you with all of who we are and all that we have, our hearts, our souls, our strength, and our minds. We give you thanks for all of the ways these last few years that Andrew and William, Caroline and Sarah Grace have loved you with all of who they are, especially their minds, as they have studied more about their particular fields. We give you thanks for each of the journeys that they have been on in their education, for the knowledge that they have gained, for the experiences that they've had, for the relationships that have been built. As they now transition from getting their degrees to using their degrees in their careers, we ask that you would help them as they transition. Be with them, give them wisdom and guidance. Remind them that you are with them and that we here at Holly Grove love and support them and that we are here for them as well. We ask that you would continue, Holy Spirit, to inspire them to bear your creative and redeeming love to all the world, that they may let their lights so shine so that others may see their good works and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming forward. I know we put you on the spot, but we want to celebrate you. So welcome them and greet them after worship.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. We pray, O God, for your church. Unite us with any on the margins, that the whole world recognize that your mercy is greater than our human capacity to restrict it. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray, O God, for creation. Tend forests and fields and safeguard all cattle, birds, and wild animals. Preserve lakes, rivers, oceans, and send rains to water the earth. Revive lands recovering from natural disasters, including the wildfires in Canada. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray, O God, for the nations. Awaken in our leaders compassion for people who have too often felt forgotten or neglected, and inspire policy solutions that promote equity and inclusion. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray, O God, for all who are in need. Accompany anyone during chronic illness, any who suffer in secret, and those grieving a loved one's death. Send healing for all who plead for relief from sickness or pain, especially Bill, Boyd, Scott, Paul and Carolina, John, Mickey, Kent, Bobby and Jana, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God. We pray, O God, for the eradication of all hatred. This week we commemorate the Emmanuel Nine, who were murdered by a Lutheran man. We confess that racism of any kind is a sin. Grant us to courage to fulfill our baptismal call, to strive for peace and justice in all the world. Help us to live in such a way that remember every single person ever created is made in your image. Hear us, O God.
Mercy is great.
We give thanks, O God, for the communion of saints. Renew our faith that you can do what you have promised and raise us with all of our beloved dead to new life. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
This song was the senior class song for East Davidson High School in 1969. So today, for the graduates, again.
Better than I did, didn't you? Pray together. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. Bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, We praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the Lord's table. Jesus is the host, and we are Christ's guests. Jesus welcomes everyone to come, to eat and be nourished, to be fed and forgiven. Visitors and children are welcome to receive communion, and those who do not wish to receive communion are welcomed forward to receive a blessing. We have gluten-free wafers available and grape juices in the center of the trays if you prefer that. If you're unable to come forward, remain seated and the pastor and communion assistant will come to you. All people are called to Christ's table. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. O God, you give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and the blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us state our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Serve the Lord.